is always special because, trust me, nothing else, materialistic or any otherwise, matters on this face. Family is everything. So with that, I know you say, well, let's see what kind of clownship what's going on today. I never look at God's word as clownship. I try to make it applicable. I think that the Bible is here for us to learn and grow and live by. You can't do that if you use it as a storybook on the shelf like it's a library's best novel. You have to apply it to your life. If you are living and don't see anywhere that you need any change, pinch yourself, you may be dead. You may be dead. Because all of us need to change. We need to accept and understand that. So with that, let me go ahead. And I'd like to thank God for allowing us another chance at salvation. I'd like to thank his son Jesus for providing that means of salvation for us. Don't ever forget where that come from. I'd like to thank the leaders of the church. It is imperative that you have good leaders. It is imperative that they take control and stand up. Intestinal fortitude sometimes can be hard to accept, but we have to have it. Amen. And you need people that have intestinal fortitude. My church family, I've got to honestly say my wife told me not to say it. She said, don't tell them that you're approaching 4 years of being here. You didn't hear that from me. But anyway, I'm tickled to death. It seems like that time just shot by. I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much. And there's not one time that I've come here and regretted anything from it. I love it. Thank you for having me here. And my family, my biological family, they always prop me up. And it's good to be supported, and believe in it. I think it's one of the, not me, I think it's one of the greatest blessing God could ever give me is to have my children come to church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I wasn't one of them that was frequenting the church that regular. Like I told you, it was fried chicken Sunday and whenever, them times when we showed up. So with that, again, every time I bring a message or come up here with a message, I try to make it applicable, and it's something that I've encountered. That we as Christians, we need to be mindful. See, life is not confined to just sitting in the pew. It's not. And if you read in your verses and Bible and stuff, and it don't apply no more after you cross that threshold, then you probably not where you need to be as a Christian. You probably haven't made that transition. You probably looked at something what we call put lip service on it. You're just saying something. You're going to have to live this. You're going to have to do this. And with that, my scripture reading for this sermon will be coming from Matthew 10, 26 through 28. Matthew 10, 26 through 28. When you have it, say amen. Oh, y'all fast today. Y'all got to get out of here, huh? Okay. Try not to rush. I want you to listen to this, though. And, let me say this. I got to put this disclaimer out. Do not, what I go through, what I have in my sermon, listen to me. I'm not targeting any one person. I'm talking about me. But I want you to see the commonality and the similarities, and maybe you can see somewhere that you can improve your Christian walk, as I did, because I had to learn. That's what this whole thing is about. That's how we lean and prop each other up. So with that, let me go ahead. I know y'all got that look on your face. Let me go ahead and read and get through here. Get you up. 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the hill housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of them that you say to yourself, who's he talking about? See, in my Bible, that's in red. That's Jesus. That's red. That's Jesus there. But before I go, hold it. I got a flash message alert. A flash message. The CCA, the Concerned Christian Association, interrupt this service for the following message. There have been a sharp increase in the sightings of closet Christians. Sightings have been reported all around the globe. The CCA, Concerned Christian Association, recommend that you be constantly vigilant in the daily routine. They also warn that the closet Christian is almost invisible to the untrained eye. The characteristics of the closet Christian is often contagious, and without immediate training and care, one can result in infection and soul damnation. The closet Christian is rarely spotted during normal work day, and they are rarely and found in places of aid, and almost always never stand up for what is right. However, the closet Christian almost always shows up at church. Yes, they come out on Sunday, they sing, they pray, hence the name closet Christian. But cannot be found anywhere for Christian support until the next Sunday comes. The closet Christian, stay on alert. My subject for today is the closet Christian. The closet Christian. Now, before you say, well, there he is. He's off his medicine again. Listen to me. If you look it up, there is a term. It is a closet Christian. Yeah, he's real. She's real. I'm real. The closet Christian. And what you probably surmise by now that closet Christian, because we hear the team closet, they come out. They don't come out when someone needs help. They don't come out when God's word needs to be supported. They don't come out in the storm. But they show up Sunday ready to go. So just hear me out. Maybe you've encountered or seen a college Christian. I had to make sure that I did not get infected by one, which is why I bring you this lesson. In our life, there are a lot of decisions made, and because life is about decisions, we are generally led by society. We are generally led by society. We teach and raise our children to think a certain way, and we push that mentality in school. And from that, we create a collective mindset, meaning that we all think the same way about certain things. Yes, we do. We all think the same way about certain things. We sometimes, in layman's term, go along to get along. Go along to get along. That's a term I heard in the military. Now, that thing got some deep, impactful meaning about it. Go along to get along. Example of that might be, well, I don't really like so and so and so, but I need my job, so I put up with whatever is going on at that particular time. This is what I'm saying now. I put up with it. I know what he's doing or she doing is wrong, but I put up with it because I need what? My job. You know, go along to get along. Some of the symptoms and some of the characteristics. And some of us call it keeping the peace. Oh, yeah, That's another one to get thrown around. Keeping the peace. Man, I spent 27 years in the military, and I've never seen so many peacemakers before in my life till I got to the civilian side of the house. Everybody keeping the peace on something that they don't want nobody to know nothing about or don't want to get involved in. They're keeping the peace. Peacekeepers. Got to watch them. Peacekeepers. Everybody's about peace. But the truth of the matter is we push a false faith mentality. The closet Christian. Keep what I'm talking about now. We push a false faith mentality. That's right. In our society, we look at each other and say one thing and do another. The closet Christian. Now on Sunday, man, he ready to pop open the trunk, pull out the baptismal pool, take his halo and a couple of angels and get you squared away. Headed straight to heaven. He's trying to get you out there. On Sunday. On Sunday. Before I can get you to see God's grace and mercy, I need you to understand where we are looking from. You see, for us Christians, we have to constantly be vigilant. Matthew 26 and 41 says, listen to it. Now, and that's why you need to read the Bible. Don't use it to kill flies and hold your glasses on your coffee table. You need to use it. Read this book. Get into it. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Huh? The flesh is weak. And because of that, we Christians sometimes become closet Christians. Closet Christians, what is a closet Christian? Well, a closet Christian is someone that confesses to be a Christian but never comes out and show it anywhere. Period. That's what that is. Except in church where you know it's safe to get away with. That's the closet Christian. They're strong, rigid, believing, water-walking, sea-dividing Christians on Sunday. You can't even find him on Monday. Don't even know what it looked like. That's right. The closet Christian sings at church, pray at church, believe at church, love at church. But when he or she is in society, you cannot tell they go to church. The closet Christian. You might have seen some. They go with the flow or go along to get along. Keep in mind. Go along to get along. They won't come out of the closet until Sunday morning. The problem with that is that you can't bring a soul to Christ or represent God in any kind of way without getting involved. And keep in mind, the closet Christian don't come out. Hence the name, the closet Christian. The closet Christian. The problem with that is that your love and belief in Christ is overtaken by your fear of not getting along with society. Uh-oh. Here we go. The reason this is prevalent now, the reason I bring this up now is because we are in some treacherous times. Buddy, your faith is under attack. Listen to me now. Because it's easy to look and see what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on with the pandemic, what's going on outside with the youth. It's easy to say, oh, Lord, this thing ain't working. This Christian thing, where is God now? It's easy to get like that. It's easy. And you convince yourself on Sunday morning, let me go into church and get recharged and come back so I'm ready to go. Yet you walk out of your house and see something simple as someone misleading, not treating, or not even helping the elderly. And you don't even open your mouth. You don't hear me. Something as simple as your boss taking up an immoral position on an impact for his other workers, and you stand there and let him do it. I'm going to create a relationship with her. I'm going to hook up with her.
He tells you that.
You're the closet Christian. You go along to get along.
Huh? Oh!
Oh, yeah. The closet Christian. You look at life and you see the things that society got out here and demand of you, and you put that in front of your faith. And when it get time to make that moral decision, you look at it and say, oh, I can't do this. I need this job. She's the best looking woman I ever had. That's a good car. All these things, everything takes precedence over that moral decision, right over wrong. The closet Christian. Yet, on Sunday, when I come in, there's nobody more knowledgeable about how to get to heaven than that closet Christian. Yes. Huh? No, you. I don't care how many Bibles you got a wheelbarrow full of, No, you know you need to be like this. You need to do that. You know, I was thinking you need help in this area. You know, the closet Christian. Yet, when you walk out that door faced with that real problem about, you know, I got cancer, or I don't know how I'm going to pay my house note, or my kids are acting up. I need somebody to come and sit with me because I'm on a 24-hour watch suicide list. Not that closet Christian. I'm going to keep the peace. That's none of my business. Sunday morning, Rev, did you go over there and see so-and-so-and-so? I heard she was bad off. That's why they say on Sunday morning. That closet Christian. Why didn't you go? Reb, just like you, he's trying to get to heaven just like you. Why didn't you go? You were saving all your divine miracle-making stuff for Sunday. There's a time that help demands an immediate action. The closet Christian postpones. The Christian does all he can do when he can do it, while he can do it. Period. The closet Christian postpones. The Christian does. You say, Grady, this don't apply to me. Listen to me. I have seen something going on that was not right and took the attitude I deal with. Let's let somebody else handle that. Let me go ahead on. I thank God that my heart, my mind was pricked after that, because I realized I would not have wanted to be the person that was being hurt, done wrong, or messed over, and seeing another Christian walk past me. The closet Christian. The closet Christian can be detrimental to a church in and of itself, because it spreads, it's contagious. You know, Deacon so-and-so didn't do anything. I ain't gonna mess with it either. The closet Christian. You say, Grady, I that's something. Listen to me. It's big enough that they put it in the Webster Dictionary, and more impactful enough that it can keep folk from coming back to church after they identify. So it is an issue. Closet Christian is live and well. When we sometimes get confronted with problems, we need to look at the individual, the situation, and look at all of that, and then look at where you stand with your religious foundation. You either solid or you're not. If you're one of those that are struggling with this thing on the college, hey, certain things I can't say and I need my job. What if so and so and so and so? God knows your situation. If you are where you're supposed to be, trust me, you ain't got a secret from God.
know? He knew it. Before that good-looking secretary come in there, he knew it.
You need this job. They pay good over here. I'm going to go along to get along. I'm going to go along to get along. Just in case you forgot. Salvation is free. Let me say that again. Salvation is free. You don't have to hit the six-digit income bracket to make it to heaven. So if you're compromising on your salvation, you're compromising on your health, your position, your allegiance to God because of your job. And you're saying, I just want to go along and play in the game and do whatever. I'm here to tell you, you done lost the game. Money has zero to do with your transition to heaven. You either help somebody, you're either a Christian every day, all day, or you're not. One of the concepts of teaching in school is that we teach you how something works. That way I can make you a mechanic. Once you know how something works, when it's not doing, principle and theory, you say, well, that's not doing this thing, so it's not working. See how that works? That's how we teach. That's how I teach. That's how it comes up. Your salvation is the same way. We teach, I teach, I live, try to do God's word. And when I'm not doing that, I can easily find the problem. Oh, I didn't do this today. I didn't pray and ask God. I didn't believe and ask God. I didn't communicate with God. I don't have that closet Christian mentality. But if you got some of these components missing, you know, I got a four-day-a-week faith system. 4 days a week? I got a night faith system. I'm going to pray for them tonight. I got a prayer group faith. That's one of them. My sister got up there in Raleigh. Yeah. A prayer group faith system. Nothing get fixed until we get to the prayer group. Huh? You're on the verge of getting put out of your house. You're on the verge of damnation, going to hell because you've not done this, that, and other, and you're going to wait till when they meet. Next weekend, next Thursday. One of the girls called and said they can't make it. You see how that works? That mindset, we accept it, we absorb it, and we live like that. And before we realize it, before we understand it, we're living that closet Christian life. That's what we're doing. And we come in, oh, I got to get me a new set of heels for Sunday. We got Easter service. What? We got this coming up on 4th Sunday. We go into this, that, there, and the other on that church. Look, what happened to the days from Sunday to the next one? They 6 days, and now why did you do them days? Who did you help? Where was your heart at when somebody needed help? I'm here to tell you, the souls that you bring in the ground, if he's in the church, he already knows his souls need help. The closet. I was amazed at, you say, well, Grady, what sparked this ramp in you? You know, what I told y'all about, we're supposed to have they're supposed to be building apartments in our neighborhood back there. Listen to me. The city councilman and one of the city councilman representatives come out of there. I can't tell you, it's funny. You know,
I think you should be able to laugh at life. I do. My BB shop, my brain housing group, I call it a BB shop, it spins 1,000,000 miles an hour. You know, one of them got in there and I says, I was telling her about something. I says, they haven't paved this street since I've been here. I don't know why it's an issue now. I say they come through here, they cut off traffic. Miss Lucille, stay right down where it is. The 18-wheelers come through, there ain't no marking on the highway. When they cut off 74 and go get the Charlotte Highway, just go straight to wide open truck, boom, boom. They hit the speed cushions, they call them. Those are launch ramps. Bam! He's in there. He's going up. Anyway, we talking to the city councilman, and the city, I said, is wrong, and I don't understand why we're just now realizing that. I bought out here in 94. And I said to her, where do you go to church at? Invited her to come to the church. And she jumped up and said, I knew he was a preacher. That's the city council. Then he went to tell me all the churches she'd go to. That's a closet Christian now. You hear me? She needs a vote. That's why she's there. She needs a vote. Y'all say, great, he's in a weird world. No, I'm not. I'm right here in the United States, right there in Monroe. I'm telling you what's going on. I'm telling you what's real. I'm telling you that our problems, our fears, our issues are self-imposed. God still sits on the throne. God is still in charge. I don't care what they throw at you. They come back out there with a 12-story building. Listen to me. God will be done. You understand that? So when it comes time to stand up for what's right, when it comes time to make a decision, when it comes time to help, I don't wait on prayer meeting night, judgment night, the sister's soul spiritual greeting meeting night, whatever that is. I don't wait to the third meeting of the deacon board to do it. They help me. She asked me for help. I go down there now. You asked me for help. I go down there now. And I want to believe in my heart. Y'all help me. I'm a little bit slow. I'm from Willow, North Carolina. I want to believe in my heart. Now, I've been with y'all going on 4 years. I want to believe in my heart. If I ask you, you will help me. I want to believe that. I want to believe that. You're not going to bring one unsaved soul in here if you're not living like that. You don't save the Christian. It's the unsaved soul. And if you got this mess going on, I'm like the unsaved guy. I ain't going to have nothing to do with you now. Man, I can't even go see him until next Sunday. My issue is now. Look at yourself. I'm saying me. You look at yourself. Maybe you may not have never seen him. But I'm certain if they're on the city council, they got to be all over the place. I'm certain if I run into them, and I'm slow, I'm from Willow, I'm slow. I know you've seen some. The closet Christian. We have an obligation to God. And a lot of times we want to believe love thy neighbor as thyself is the only verse in the Bible. There's more in there. There is, God does have a wrath for those not doing what they're supposed to do. You need to accept that. There is a punishment. He will exercise and he will exact punishment on those that mess with his. You need to understand that. I ain't going to help him. You know, I don't want to keep the peace. I'm going to go along and get along. And then you get over there, I'm going to ask God to forgive me. I'm not sending God, see. I'm just saying you had a chance to help and you didn't. Verbalizing the facts to you. Keep in mind. God been dealing with people a whole lot longer than you have. Don't get caught up in hype. Don't let society
tear down your faith. Don't be one of those lip service Christians. Don't be the closet Christian. Don't be one of those Christians that they put special labels on. Be God's Christian, God's servant. That's what you do. That's what you do. Not the kind of Christian that we allow in the Lions Club or whatever kind of club it is, or the Moosehead Lodge Club, whatever you got going on. If they have to alter God's word, get out of it. If your situation or whatever you got going on don't recognize this and don't yield to this and is not using that as a foundation of doctrine and authority, get away from it. I got children. Lord knows, I used to think, well, you raised them right, you're doing them right. You are just one in the many teaching blessings that they're going to get. The one you praying for is that they learn all your stuff. Let me tell you about the truth. The part you didn't think they learned. They got that from somewhere else. You can't shy away and hope they just catch it down the road. You can't be that closet Christian, I'ma love him when he do good. Maybe the teacher work it out when he's doing bad. We have an obligation to bring souls to Christ. For that to happen, we need to know how to maintain our soul. For that to happen, we got to reconcile our soul. For that to happen, we all got to be morally, doctrinally, Christianly on one accord. There is not a day that you drew a breath that God went to them for. Whether you were mad, whether you got locked up, whether you were in jail, whether you were sick or whatever, you existed because of God. Purely grace and mercy. Purely. All this other stuff, these stipulations, this certain situation, this special condition, all the stuff that got to exist before you can just say, thank you, Lord. Before you can say, well, I want to pray with you. Let's try to work something out. You need me to be here with you. I'm going to stay here. All of this, you got to have special conditions for you to do it. And God get you up while he knowing you ain't doing right every morning. Got you staying. You ain't laying out there on the highway. So evidently you're sleeping up in the house or somewhere in a house somewhere. None of that has an impact on you when it comes time to help somebody. You need to look at yourself. I did. I looked at mine. And like I told the city council, something is wrong if the only time as I see you is on the election day. Something is wrong. You know what she said to me? I want you on my team. Your whole team should be like this. You mean none of y'all are like this? What are you running on then? Because I just want the truth. We stand in a neighborhood out here. All we ask is that, I'm not going to go on this rant, but I just want you to understand where it comes from. In the city, you pay city and county tax. Just so you know, it's for the exact same services. Yeah, that's what I said. Somebody didn't earn something. Because the county people only pay county tax for the exact same thing now. And I only see you on election day. I knew he was a preacher. I knew he was. Holy. We have to listen to me. Take a moral position with your life. You don't know who's watching, what's going on, but please don't be the closet Christian. Stand up for what's right every day. all day. If you go down, make sure you go down standing up. We have a saying in the military, you don't go down facing the enemy. If you go down any other way, you will run. Leave him out there. Yeah, he was shot in battle. Where? In the back 37 times? Whoa! No shot is in the face? Not none? Stand up for God. Stand up for God. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring you on this long. I just wanted you to realize that there is a situation that we as Christians have to be aware of, that we don't get muffled and ran over. That we don't go out there and misrepresent God. That we don't go out there and not do our position of stand up loyally, solidly on foundation with God's word. I understand that a lot of you say, well, I didn't come in here for that greater, but the only way we're going to make ourselves better is iron sharpens iron. That's the only way it sharpens iron. You've got to understand it. The military messed me up. I was a technician for the military. That's why I'm like this. So I'm going to look at it and say, what the book say? That's what I'm going to do. What does the book say? If the book says two yellow balls and one blue, don't come in here with a pink ball. What the book say? Let's just follow the book. Let's try it one time. Let's just see what happens. Maybe your days have not been everything you thought they should be. Maybe you struggled just a little bit more. Maybe you got caught up in that passive approach about Christianity and slipped into one of those slang terms as the closet Christian. But there's time. You're here. You can turn around. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. Please remember and understand that nobody is safe forever. Every day it starts all over again. That's how God's love is, God's grace, God's mercy. So if you're one this evening, and you feel, or this afternoon, and you feel that now's the time to make a change, that I don't get caught up, I don't get twisted, I don't become the closet Christian that I have certain times I come out, then you incorporate God's plan for salvation. I mean, you got to say he's a wonderful God, because I see some stuff and some things people do, you know, you want to shoot them with dirty bullets. They've been bad off. But God sustains us all, which means that there's a saving for us all. It has zero to do with color, money, position, physical ability, or anything. It's right. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Inasmuch as you've done for the least of these, you've done to me. Keep that in your mind. You all start by hearing the gospel. Believe in Christ. Repent of your past sins. Confess Christ. Be baptized. And live faithfully. That prepares you for the next day. And you do that until God calls you home. Don't let death, the pandemic, Afghanistan, food stamps, whatever scared you, don't let it scare you. God is in charge. You be a Christian every day. If you have a need, we ask you come now as we stand and sing. Lord, I'm